It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to this brand new episode of Raw Milk Meats. In this kind of new podcast, I'm going to be speaking to local people who work wonders, doing fantastic things, putting our beautiful little town on the map in all kinds of different ways. In this one, we speak with Ian Trickett, the man behind independent online clothing brand Trickett England, based right here in our corner of East Lancashire. Some will know it, others perhaps not, but I encourage everyone to go out of their way to check it out. You certainly won't be disappointed. I'm making it my mission this year to celebrate all things Accrington, and Ian is the first of many of these kind of guests who all share in a passion for Heimburg. And as Ian so often says, don't worry, be acky. A massive thanks to him for giving up his valuable time. Enjoy, and let's have it. Hello, and I am delighted to be joined by Ian Trickett on this, our new journey into sort of dealing with local people that maybe aren't completely centred around football. And Ian's been fantastic to join us. So, Ian, cheers for being with us, mate. How are you doing? How's things? How's life in summer 2022 treating you?
Yeah, I'm very lucky. Life's been pretty good. I've got about a bit. I've had to leave Accrington a few times, which obviously has broken my heart. But I've managed to get out, see a few people, do some nice things. So yeah, summer 2022 has been a nice one. Thank you very much. How's yours been?
Yeah, it's been all right. As many people know, I am a teacher, so I'm actually back into school tomorrow. So summer is very much ended for me now. So I'm a little bit sad. The 6 week holidays are a bit of a, there's pros and cons to them because obviously they're fantastic. But then when it comes to this time of year, I'll get a little bit suicidal as well. So just to go in.
A lot of my pals are teachers. So I definitely, I've already heard this a few times, to be fair. So, and then I imagine you'll have everybody else going, well, you get 6 weeks off, but it does that sort of period from the end of July to the end of August seems to just fly by, doesn't it, really? So I don't feel too sorry for you, though.
No, that's exactly it. Yeah, you can't really mourn too much when some people have just probably had a week off here and there, haven't they? So, yeah, I'm definitely not mourning about that. But, yeah, it does come to this point now when I'll just be led in bed tonight thinking, oh, my God, I've got to get up at 6:30 in the morning for the first time in 7 weeks. So I'm dreading that a little bit.
Good luck.
Yeah, cheers. Well, yeah, okay then. So, you know, people will be sort of aware of who you are, people that have that follow, you know, maybe me on Twitter or are around the Accrington area. But just to start us off then, just tell us a bit about yourself, you know, what's your background, who you are, because I'm sure that maybe people from who listen to us from a little bit further afield might be wondering, you know, what's he got this fella on for? He's not a footballer.
Yeah, that's very true. And even at my very peak of captain of Huncourt United, I wouldn't necessarily class myself as a footballer either. But yeah, I did all right for St Christopher's High School as well. So, but I was surrounded by amazing players. So yeah, we'll skip over my footballing career because that would be a very short discussion. But yeah, I'm Ian Trickett. I run a clothing brand called Trickett England. I couldn't think of a better name for it because I'm not that imaginative when it comes to names for stuff. So what we do, we source some of the nicest clothing, accessories, and stuff for your house from places that I have a connection to, whether that's Italy, America, but most importantly, the United Kingdom, and hopefully most of the time, Accrington. We make a good selection of interesting objects right here in Accrington, which makes me out and Lancashire as a whole, and that makes me very, very, very proud. But what we're all about is paying people fairly, doing things the right way, and releasing products that you can't get anywhere else. And that's ultimately what I'm here to do. As regards my background, I actually come from a musical background. I did a music degree at university. I practiced that for about 6 months after university, hated it, ended up working in a building society for 2 weeks, hated that, and then got a job working in a phone shop in Burnley, whilst also doing lots of other bits on the side. I can't stress to anyone enough listening to this. I'm not trained. I don't really know anything about this. I just like talking to people and working out how stuff's made. So from that, I started a little blog that people will never know the name of, and I'm not going to tell anyone the name of it because it's thoroughly embarrassing. But I started that, realized that I could connect with people, chat to people, and then I went to an amazing sock factory in Leicester, said, "Will you make me some socks?" for my dad, and they said to me, "You have to make at least 60 pairs." My head fell off, but I thought, "Oh well, even if no one ever buys them on my blog, at least I can give them out to my mates for Christmas presents for the rest of my life." Luckily, a couple of people bought those socks, so then I made some more socks, and then it also spiraled out of control from that point. And that was in January. That will actually be 10 years ago, which I know me and you have just been speaking about 6 week holidays and stuff like that, and that flying by quick. But a decade of doing it doesn't really seem like I've been doing it for 10 years. It just seems like I've been doing it for an afternoon. So yeah, I'm really lucky. I get to wake up every day and do something I really love. So and that's all thanks to the amazing people around me that either make the stuff, support me, psychologically with my friends and family, or the people that put their hands in their pockets and purchase stuff from the shops that I can keep going and keep buying pies to feed myself at lunchtime. So yeah, that's tricky in a very concise nutshell, because if I don't rein myself in, this could turn into a 3 year podcast, and no one wants to listen to that, do they, to be fair?
Turn into a Joe Rogan-esque 4 hour special,
Yeah.
yeah. No, ace, mate, you've answered about three of my questions there in one, to be fair. So what year did you leave St. Christopher's? Because I went there as well.
I left in 2003.
There you go. I didn't start until 2006, so
Well,
you
that's
were a
me
bit front.
showing how incredibly old I am, isn't it, to be fair?
Yeah. No, you're not that old. You're not that old. But 10
Yeah.
years, wow. 10 years, that's some good going, and congratulations for that as well. So that's coming up
Very
this year, is it? Next year?
Yeah, I'm already in the planning phase of all the weird stuff that I'm going to release in 2023. But yeah, it was December 2012 when we started out. So obviously, that's the if we will be we will have done 10 years. We'll have done our time 10 years by the time it gets to 2023. So yeah, it's very strange, very weird, but very exciting, and sort of. It's definitely not the right word, but it does seem a bit daunting in a way that I've been doing it for this long and I still don't really feel like I know anywhere near enough. So to be classed as an actual person that knows what they're on about, I still have imposter syndrome, and like a lot of my mates will tell me that when I talk about what I'm doing, I still find it really strange when I'm at meetings with people that, in my opinion, know infinitely more about these things than me, and I still think that I'm an 8-year-old playing with them Corinthian big head figures, action men, and wondering when they grown up cops are going to enter the room. So I think that's sort of how I want to keep going, to be honest, because I think the innocence of it all makes it more interesting to learn about, if I'm honest.
No, absolutely. And I think I remember back to the first time that I heard about you as well. And I was working at the Students' Union in Manchester, and it was my first job out of uni. And I had two lads that I worked with were designers. And I just remember they sort of were really into the sort of clothing and fashion. And I just remember him asking me one day, he said, "Is this Trickett shop in Accrington? Do you know anything about it?" And I remember Googling Trickett store Accrington. And sort of trying to find you on the high street and having absolutely no idea what he was talking about. And it wasn't until I sort of went onto your website and Twitter and went from there that I sort of pieced together what you were doing, really. Do you find that you get a lot of sort of, I'm guessing from my perspective and just from people I speak to, I live in Stockport now, but I was in Didsbury for a bit and Manchester City Centre as well. And I see a hell of a lot of your T-shirts in Chorlton and Didsbury. I'm guessing that you get most of your custom from sort of outside the area at this point.
To be quite frank with you, you were one of the first people. Were you still working at the, did you work at the Crown Pub for a bit? I might have, if you've got this story wrong, forgive me, I think it was you. You wanted something being delivered to the Crown Pub.
That's absolutely right. It's my right. I was working there. That will have been just after I stopped at the Students' Union. I moved home and I was working night shifts because it's my uncle's the landlord there. Yeah. But I remember that. I got something delivered, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, that the only reason I remember that very distinctly is not because I'm a complete like Rain Man-esque person. It's because I remember sending that, well, delivering that parcel, because that was like, we've maybe been doing it 5 years, maybe a bit less, maybe a bit longer, I can't remember. But that was the first parcel that we'd ever sent to anyone in Accrington that wasn't a mate. So
that is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd taken 5 years for somebody, and you weren't even in Aki, you know, you were like, you'd heard about us via Student Union. So that made my head fall off a bit that somebody from Accrington had bought stuff, because my whole life I'd grown up like with my grandma and other people telling me that people from Accrington were a town of lookers and touchers. That's what she always used to say. People never put their hand in the pocket and bought stuff because of like socioeconomic conditions, yada, yada, yada. But I can't tell you how thrilled I was to actually sell something to somebody from Accrington. And now, weirdly, we're in the position where we offer a local pickup at Avenue Parade Post Office where Shafiq works, because there's so many people ordered locally and they don't want to pay postage, so that they go to the Avenue Parade, get some chewing gum and some samosas from Shafiq and pick their parcel up. So that's amazing. So if anything, it was like almost the reverse of what should have happened, in as regards I'm getting more people from Accrington now ordering stuff as I've gone deeper into running the company than I did when I first started. This is where it gets really weird. The people that supported me the most from like day dot, weirdly, and I will forever love the city and the people from the city, is Aberdeen. I know, weird. All those lads that, you know, I even know most of the names, but for probably data protection reasons, I can't say that. But without those lads, there's no Trickett, and lasses, to be fair, and everybody else in between. They were, without those people, there was, you know, we never would have been able to carry on to the level that we are, because they saw something in us that they really liked and pushed on with it. So yeah, if it weren't for the mighty Granite City, we probably wouldn't be getting in the position that we are now, getting it to sell stuff and make nice things and, you know, do creative stuff. Because when I needed some help, those people were there. So yeah, pretty unbelievable, really, that it was everybody but Accrington. And to be fair, like, you know, that I've read so many books and so many things from and advice from other people that I admired that had started streetwear brands or fashion brands or whatever, and they were like, sell it to your mates first, get it on their backs and stuff like that. And I'm no problem like in saying this, most of my mates never bought it and they still don't know. It's probably because they're tight or whatever, but it worked in a completely different opposite end way of stuff for me. So I'd probably give terrible advice if somebody asked me, how do you start up a clothing company, because everything works sort of back to front. I went to far north east to Scotland to get people supporting us before I even went like 5 minutes out my front door. So yeah, a bit strange really.
Thinking back to that as well, I remember exactly what it was. It was just the navy blue Tricket Accrington England t-shirt.
Yeah, a
And
classic.
yeah, and that's still an absolute focal point of my wardrobe now. It's just starting to lose the lettering a bit from 800,000 washes. So I'm probably
Yeah,
due buying a new one actually. But
I love them when they're a bit. I love clothes when they're knackers. So
yeah.
it's a bit weird, like when people that I know send me an email or a text message saying, "Hey, do you know how to fix this or whatever?" And I'll be like, "Oh no, I'll just let it get knackered." I just think clothes when
Yeah.
they've been worn by the person, like a good pair of jeans, if you buy like some salvaged denim or whatever, and you can see all the wear marks on them and stuff, where it's like your body and like where you put your hand in your pocket and stuff like that. I love stuff like that. But sorry, that's a slight tangent, so I'll be quiet.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean because, like I say, I do still wear it pretty much probably once a week, to be fair.
Yeah.
And it still gets attention as well, and it's sort of that branding's pretty. It's very recognizable as well. So you've just mentioned it. Obviously, you're a local person. You still live in Accrington now. What are your memories of? You mentioned you went to St. Christopher's. You played for Uncourt United. What are your memories of an Accrington childhood and sort of how has growing up in Accrington and maybe East Lancashire as a whole, working in Burnley, you mentioned there, and how's that shaped sort of who you are today and the work that you do today then?
I've got really I've no problem admitting that I've got a really sort of rose-tinted view of Accrington and Lancashire and everything else that's associated with it. I really like it around here. I know some people quite rightly the first opportunity they get to leave they do so, and I don't blame anybody for wanting to do that, because you really do increasingly so around here. You have to battle through the negative stereotypes and well, it's not even stereotypes a lot of the time, the actual bad stuff that's happening right in front of you, and dig down and sort of see what is really beautiful about Accrington. But that's the same for so many towns in the north of England and elsewhere, to be honest. But growing up, I loved it. Literally my best pal lived 4 doors down from me. There was two massive fields across from me, and from somebody who was just obsessed with football and playing out and just having a good time, like that's literally all I ever wanted to do, and I had the opportunity to be able to do that every day. So I have really fond memories of it, and like I sort of saw Accrington in the sort of very 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 last sort of say it was on fire. I sort of saw the smoke of it a little bit as regards like how good it was. Like all the shops were still full. There were lots of independent places. Warner Street in Accrington, which is still in the really one of the best shopping streets in Accrington, probably even in East Lancashire for independent trade. That was booming. There were so many interesting little shops on there. Like they had an amazing Toy Master that sold all kinds of stuff that you could ever want. Because even now, I'm still really into toys and action figures and stuff. So that place really stuck with me, which is now Bailey's, and I don't even think it's even anything anymore. I think it's a furniture, like a secondhand furniture shop,
Yeah, I
might
think
be.
you're right. I think it
Yeah,
is.
but
Yeah.
I love Chips, the Church Street Chip, who were on there. Like everything that you could ever want. Like my grandma, she always used to say, like when I was a little bit older, and I would be going to like London for job interviews or to go and see shops or whatever. And she'd always say to me, "What do you need to leave Lancashire? Sorry, what do you need to leave Accrington for? You've got everything." Sorry, I'll rephrase that. That's a terrible way. I'm not dishonoring Dorothy that way. She would say to me, "What do you need to go to London for? You've got everything that you need in Accrington." And even to this day, I sort of believe that you've got everything that you need in Accrington. Like, yeah, I might want a collaborative Nike pair of trainers with Junior Watanabe, but I don't need them, do I? Like, it'd be great to have them, but I don't need them. I don't need like an Italian wool fleece jacket that you can only get from one shop in Bologna. Like, I don't need that. It's nice to have it, and I would, I'll save up for it and I'll get it, but I don't need it. So I still sort of look at that with Accrington, and like I've still got everything that I need here, and I still have endless inspiration from the place and its industrial past, and it's very strange future, and it's even weirder present. So I have got, everything that I need here. But yeah, it is. I sort of view it through rose-tinted glasses a bit because I can really hype it up to people, and like when they come, I'll show them all the really good bits and make sure that they don't see any of the bad bits. But I imagine it's like any other town. Like I was only having this conversation with my mum this morning, actually, about how, if you're from round here and you're saying horrible things about Accrington, if you're from Blackburn, Blackburn's as horrible as Burnley, Burnley's as horrible as Blackburn, Darwin's as horrible as everywhere else. Like you just have to go digging. There are. And again, as I've said previously, you have to dig a little bit harder now. But these places are amazing. They're just having a tough time, and things will get better. But you just have to try a bit harder at the minute. And I realise that could be quite difficult for a lot of people.
No, I think that'll resonate massively with a lot of people that have listened to this before, and even people that aren't from the town, because I think that sort of romance of the area feeds hand in hand for a lot of us with the football club as well, and it gives us, in a tough time, something to be really, really proud of, and it has done for me over the last 20 years. And even me going to university and stuff like that, I've never really made many friends in house parties, when you always get the sort of cocky, middle class person telling you how much of a shithole Accrington is. I've never really stood for that, because again, I'm looking at it through those spectacles that you are, and it's rose tinted a little bit, but there is a romance to it, like you just said, and especially in the northwest and the whole of the north, really. Everyone's got that sort of thing that they sort of view their town as, and it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And I think it is something that needs to be celebrated. And it's interesting that you mentioned those, seeing the last of the sort of the shops being full and things like that, because when you're on those, those sort of memory pages on Facebook, I remember seeing one that was from like 2000 or maybe the late 90s, and I do remember the Arndale just being sort of gorgeous, and flower beds everywhere and things like that, and that seems so many years ago now, doesn't it? Looking back at it and where we are now.
Well, like when my mum and my dad talk about like the things that you could get in Accrington, like my head falls off a bit. Like they were like department stores and like places that you get screws from, like just exclusively they'd sell screws. And then there'd be places that, there was a baker, candlestick maker, all these sort of things that were there. And like I'm not talking like my mum and dad aren't like 200 years old, like they're in the 60s, like this isn't like an astronomical time, but like a long time ago or anything like that. So it's happened once before, and I'm sure if with somebody with a bit of creativity and a lot of funding could create that again. I just think we've been trapped, haven't we, a lot of us, into the idea of that convenience is more important than supporting your local whatever. I do think like it's a lot of the time when you're on like a social media, you're talking to your pals or whatever, you're in a bit of an echo chamber, aren't you? So you can sort of convince yourself that things are getting better and people's opinions of buying local and stuff is changing. But I do feel that there is a bit of a sea change as regards like where is this money that I'm spending going? Like if I spend my £5 here, and yeah, it's a quid more expensive than I could get it on the internet, but this supports this person a bit more. I do think even with money becoming increasingly tight amongst people, I do think more and more people are maybe considering the choices. Whether they actually act on them is a different thing, but I do think people are considering their choices about how I spend my money and where I spend it. And hopefully that will trickle down and help people maybe set up businesses and do fun things in whatever local area that you are that makes your place that you live a little bit better. But yeah, to go back to what you were saying about people saying that Accrington's not great or wherever you're from. I went to university in Liverpool, and obviously your fanzine's called Raw Milk for various different reasons, but as you can imagine, 3 years in Liverpool, introducing yourself to Scousers, saying that you're from Accrington,
Oh, yeah.
only to be greeted by the famous milk advert. That got boring very quickly. It was boring after some time, but you just sort of grin and bear it. At least they're not saying anything bad about it. At least Ian Rush had nice things to say about Accrington, to be fair.
Yeah, he did. In a weird way. I mean, you say it's called that for various reasons. It's pretty much called that just because of that advert, to be fair. But now it is, that sort of puts us on the map in a little strange way, doesn't it? You've just made me think of something there when you were talking about sort of everything that they used to have in Accrington. I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but my mum and dad always tell me about how good the Sunday night out was in Accrington, and how and stories of like coaches coming over from Liverpool and Preston full of people just to go out in Accrington on a Sunday night. Have you ever
Yeah, well,
heard
that,
that? Yeah.
yeah, well, my sister's a little bit older than me, not majorly, but she's like 4 years older than me, and she caught the tail end of that. And she's like on a Sunday night, and like she were far too young to be going out, but we won't get into that; it's a different thing. And she, but she caught like the tail end of that, and people were coming from all over just to go out in Accrington, and that's like not anything to do with the whole people from Blackburn and Burnley coming to Accrington to fight, you know, when the football were on or anything. That's a completely different thing. People used to come to have a good time in Accrington because between Accrington, Blackburn, and Burnley, they were some of like the best night out that you could have, and that was all in East Lancashire, and they were all within a taxi ride of each other. Like my uncle once told me that he knew a few people, not knew, but encountered a few lads that were literally going on a stag do, and this must have been like the mid-80s, where they were staying in Accrington, but on a Friday, sorry, they were staying in Accrington, going to Blackburn on the Friday night, going to Burnley on the Saturday night, and going to Accrington on the Sunday night, and then going home to be back at work on the Monday. So they were going out for a stag do in East Lancashire, which
Wow.
sounds thoroughly depressing now, but apparently they had like a ball. I think he said they were from Wolverhampton, as I remember. I'll check with him, but that's what they, yeah, mad at it that they come all that way just for a night out in East Lancashire. Probably because the beer were cheap and it was good fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is such a strange thought. I think for anybody who's never heard that story, who's a bit younger, might just be thinking the heads might have just fallen off. But yeah, bring back the good times. Maybe we're like you said there, just spending that little bit of extra money and supporting local businesses, probably something that we're going to have to see a hell of a lot more of maybe in the coming years as things get a little bit harder for people.
Definitely.
Touch wood. All right then, mate. So yeah, you've given the a background of sort of the brand. Tell us about the sort of day-to-day goings on then running it. Your website, I've said this to you before, but your website is what I'd describe as an amalgamation of like all your interests, and it's clear that that website is just a representation of sort of everything that you love. You mentioned toys there before, you've sold those before, Italian coffee, sunglasses, shoes, absolutely everything you could think of has been on there. Is there a sort of method to it, or is it just you get an idea, you read about something, and you just run with it, and you think, do you know what? I like that. That's what I'm going to put together.
Yeah, I'm in a really fortunate position where I don't have shareholders, I don't have people that I need to please other than myself, and I don't have people saying you need to sell that because it needs to make money, otherwise we can't do X, Y, and Z. So the shop, everything that I put out, it's a representation of me, and all of it flows through me. Like we aren't this big, massive corporation or anything like that. There's like me, my dad, and that's about it really. Working here, and everything that comes out is through me, and that means that I get to pick the products, I get to design them, I get to import them, I get to talk to the people that make them, I get to edit things, I get to see if I can make things for, you know, in a more interesting way. So yeah, you are absolutely right. Everything that's on there or will be on there is something that I would use or wear or want to buy or have as a gift, because I think that's the best thing. Like, there's so many shops that I grew up loving that have either been bought out by massive corporations or have had to change tact or stock brands because they know that they'll sell so that they can support other brands and stuff. And that's not really what I'm about. I'd much rather have something in there that hangs in the shop for years, knowing that I've picked it because I love it, rather than, oh yeah, this will definitely sell. Because there's so many things that you could, you know, whack a football on it and sell. But that's not really what I'm about. And if I were into making loads of money or whatever, I'd reissue stuff, and I'd do, you know, instead of doing a, you know, 50 or 100 or something, I'd make 1,000 of it and just let it sit there so that everybody can have it. But the magic of what I do, I think, is the fact that you can't just get it at your local shop, and you can't just keep buying it forever. And you know, people will make a jacket and then, oh, we've done it in navy blue this year, and next year we'll do it in dark navy blue, and then the year after that it'll be dark black and stuff like that. Like, that's not really my style. Like, I've got such a weird brain that I'm always sort of thinking of new things and wanting to do new things, and I think this is the result of that. Like, I like stuff, I like designing things, and I like the process of designing, manufacturing, shipping, and it landing in Accrington. So I think, yeah, it is just a complete, if you opened up my brain, the shop would look a bit like that, just with a lot more Andrea Pirlo free kick compilations on YouTube and Les Ferdinand goals. But yeah, that's yeah, I'm lucky that way, that the whole shop is just a representation of who I am.
Yeah, absolutely. And that comes across as well with anybody who's ever bought anything from you'll know this. But you every time I always think you get something. I think I bought a hat once and then I opened it up and I also had three baseball cards, eight Maradona stickers, and a postcard from Naples or something like that. So it's you can see that you've got that passion and that sort of love for giving somebody a unique product that's also packaged with sort of that love that you can get as well that you wouldn't get from if you're buying it from a big brand who you're just a number and they couldn't really give a shit about you. You mentioned this earlier as well, but you mentioned that you've got influence from sort of Naples, America, LA. You've done socks that have been sort of that have what's the word that I'm thinking of that have been inspired from those areas before? Where's that originated from then? Because you say that you're a massive football fan, but maybe American pop culture and LA and places like that, that doesn't really go hand in hand in football. So is that just something else that's an interest to you as well?
Well, when I was growing up, most people were really into like guitar-based music or whatever. I really loved hip hop from as however old I was. Probably, I'm trying to think when my first, I can't even remember, but that's how long an obsession it's been. And again, when most people were loving West, sorry, East Coast hip hop and or even Southern hip hop, I sort of went west. I loved NWA, I loved Dr. Dre, I loved Snoop, I loved, and I know he what isn't from the West Coast, but he was very much associated with it in Tupac and Eminem. These guys were the sort of my heroes. These were the guys that I wanted to listen to. And you listen to their music and it's inextricably linked to Los Angeles. So learning about that from a far too young age to learn what these lads were sort of rapping about. And sort of understanding the culture a little bit more and visiting, it sort of changed my life in a way because of the Latino influence that the city has, and obviously it formerly belonged to Mexico, and the Spanish and all various different things. Just the influence on the city and the people, the food, the fashion, the way that they talk, their attitude. It is just something that I found really intoxicating. So it couldn't help but be influenced through what I do. And for me, although it isn't the birthplace of hip hop and it isn't the birthplace of streetwear, to quote Dre, because I am sure most people will be really happy about, it's not about who did it first, it's about who did it right. And I always feel that the West Coast, whenever they get presented with something, they just do it right, and Los Angeles for me is the epicenter of that. And yeah, I'm always looking to it for inspiration, and always looking to it for an attitude, and they always just seem to get it right. So that's them. And if moving on, Naples is like is a sort of relatively new thing, but I remember this was a long, long time ago. I watched Football Italia. And this is when Napoli were on the way down, really, after the glories of Maradona. And I think I always say this, I don't know why it stays in my head, but I always think of Laurent Blanc wearing the Napoli shirt at the period that I was getting into him. And that was a long time ago.
Wow,
Most people
yeah.
know that Laurent Blanc played for Napoli, but I think he did for either one season or two seasons. I can't remember. But yeah, the sort of Gianfranco Zola era and all that. I really got into them because they were awful, and I'm always drawn to terrible football teams, as seems to have happened throughout my life. But now they're actually quite good. So I remember I love Italy. Visited a few times, and I was like, right, I want to go to Naples, see what that's like. And you sort of have a picture in your head of what the city's going to be like and what the people are going to be like, and it's nothing like that. These people, the city is mad. The place is mad, but the people are amongst some of the nicest people that you could ever meet. They have horrible stereotypes about how, they're going to stab you in the street, or they're all drug dealers or whatever. And this is just like a northern stereotype of the south of Italy. It's sort of in reverse to here, how, you know, I'm not saying this still exists, but how people in the south of England think that people from the north are a certain way and us vice versa. In Italy, it's exactly the same. The north thinks that the south are beneath them. Again, this is like a stereotype. This isn't true. And the south thinks that, you know, the people in the north are basically German, sort of, you know, they're not even Italian. And then it was all sort of, you know, perpetuates some quite nasty stuff. But yeah, I went to Naples. Wasn't prepared mentally or physically for it, and I fell in love with it straight away. It's one of those places that you'll go to and you either love it or you'll hate it. And I was lucky enough that I fell in love with it, and I met an amazing two of my best pals now, Joe and Iris, who live out there, who help find absolutely amazing manufacturers, interesting things to look at. And yeah, it just spiraled completely out of control since then. So the idea that you can have a brand, a clothing brand from Accrington's weird. To have one that's influenced by Los Angeles is super weird, but to have one with such strong connections to the south of Italy is like a complete one-off. So I recognize that if you're new to this, it is quite weird to have a brand that's influenced by all those things sat in a warehouse in Accrington, but. Here we are. We're a bit weird, but we'll try our best to make you smile.
Excellent. Okay, then. I guess that let's talk a little bit about football, because I get shouted at and screamed at in the street by people these days if I don't talk about football at least 100% of the time of my life. You mentioned before you had a passion for football. Are you a Stanley supporter, a Stanley fan? I know that you did the a few little bits and pieces with your clothes, didn't you, a few years ago, where you got Billy Keogh and Jimmy Bell on board. But, you know, predominantly, do you support Accrington, or are you do you sort of shop elsewhere for your football love?
No, I love Accrington Stanley. They're the only club that I really have a real strong love for. Like I love Napoli. That's after visiting a few times, sort of fall in love with the city and the people. But yeah, Stanley are the only really ones that I care about. Like I liked Newcastle for a bit when I was growing up because I liked the shirts, but nothing really that serious. Yeah, Stanley are really the only people that I care a lot about. And you noticed that. In my voice, didn't you? I love the club, and I love the town and stuff. But it's weird since they've become better run, a better club, yada yada yada. I do sort of feel that. Sorry about that. That's my phone going off. I do sort of feel that I've lost the interest in it, but that isn't Stanley's fault per se. That is the fault of just football. Like I'm acutely aware this sort of time round, just how you see people like grown men talking about how much people are spending on footballers and whether the club can afford it and all stuff like that. Like, mate, like I don't care if somebody at the football club thinks that they can afford to buy some football that I've never heard of. Like, fair play. Like, I don't care. Like, maybe that's just because I've got a little bit older and jaded or whatever. But you know, football is routinely being bought for £70 million and being paid £200,000 a week and stuff like that. And again, I don't blame the footballers. I don't even blame the clubs particularly. But like. It's just astronomical amounts of money being paid for like bang average footballers. Like these aren't £70 million isn't buying you like prime Diego Maradona or like Alan Shearer or you know amazing footballers. It's like buying you an all right centre half that'll be a backup. Like I don't know. I've just become a bit jaded by it all. But yeah, I still love Stanley. I still want him to win. Like I didn't think I cared that much, but when yesterday when Rochdale managed to get it to 2-2. I could have thrown myself out of a window. Like I was just like, what is going on? But you know, I pretend to myself that I don't care, but I do. But I try not to care too much because one thing that I learned during lockdown when there were no fans in the stands, and obviously I realized that football without the fans really is nothing to, you know, use that age-old adage. But one thing I found, I just didn't watch football. It just didn't interest me. So I started reading books and I started going out for a jog and I started meditating and I started researching more and doing more fun things and walking my dog Mabel and doing stuff like that. And I felt so much happier. I can't even describe to you how much happier I felt. Like not having that worry and that sort of like impending doom of like a Saturday or like random Tuesday evening hanging over. You're just like, oh, they're going to lose. Are they going to be terrible? Are they going to rag a 1-0 win and I'm not going to be happy? And stuff like that. It just, it sort of cleared my mind and I can feel it creeping back in now, caring about football. So I'm trying to be very Buddhist and push all the negative energy out of my life. But I still want Stanley to win, you know, like anytime that Stanley playing, I'll still want him to win. It's just that it won't ruin my weekend like it used to.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to so many people who've said that exact same thing to me, Noah. And I was the exact same last year. And Callum, who does the sort of normal podcasts with me, he was the same. We found that in lockdown, you sort of, well, it was the other way around for me. I was doing some match reports for the Accrington Observer. So I was sort of watching more Stanley than I'd probably ever watched before, really, because I was doing the reports for it. So I was in the ground as well. And what I found last year when fans were allowed back in is that I'd put that much into the previous season that it was almost like a hangover for it. I couldn't get myself up to go again. My sort of energy levels were down. And then you throw in the fact that your friends are all meeting up on the weekends again and you've got various things here, there and everywhere. I really sort of struggled to get going last year. I can feel it creeping in again this year, probably not as much as it has done in the past again, but it's certainly sort of a stronger feeling in me than there was last season because, yeah, I only watched a handful of games. I was keeping up to date with it with sort of reports, clips, things like that, but I hardly watch the games, I'll be honest. So I think a lot of people will understand that. And touching on your first point there as well, the sort of higher they go, and you know, no Stanley fan will complain at the position that they're in now, but I won't mention any names, but they'll be listening to this and they know exactly who they are. But a lot of fans that have been going for a long, long time have had that conversation with me as well, that the sort of higher that they go and the sort of, I don't even know what you'd call it, even the fact that they've got this new incredible bar and the new stands sort of top of the range and things like that. I've had countless conversations with people saying, has it taken sort of a bit of the magic out of it? And I'll probably get pelters for that online as well. But people have had that conversation with me. I'm not saying that in particular. But I always remember Noel Gallagher said when Man City got good, I remember he said that Ricky Hatton once said to him, I preferred it when we were a bit shit, you know. I used to enjoy it more when nobody liked us. And I wonder if it's that sort of same old thing. You sort of grow up as that huge underdog, and then in the last 5 years or so, we've sort of changed into something a little bit different, and it's a little bit strange at times. And again, it's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It's definitely a good thing for the football club, but it's just very interesting to hear people's ideas and sort of attitudes around it as well.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, you know, it does my head in when people are, oh, I only like that band when they were crap.
Yeah.
I like that band's first two albums because after that they went corporate and stuff like that. I'm not really that guy. Like, I always think that a lot of the time the music becomes better as you progress and stuff. And that's a metaphor for Stanley. Like, it's amazing. Like, the idea that when I were getting in for free at half time when I was like eight,
yeah,
it was absolutely awful. Like, that had never happened now. And then if I spoke to myself at that point saying it cost £20 to get into the gate. And that's because the quality of the football and the environment is so much better than it was when you were paying 50p to get in. Like, you know, there's no argument about that. And the club has more people to pay, has bigger assets, it has more stuff to pay for, et cetera, et cetera. So it isn't like I'm not slating the work that's been done by the club, which is absolutely amazing. It's just that I think it's really difficult for my brain and my attitude towards Stanley to change when I've had so long of them being like this sort of mildly famous provincial team that never really achieved anything. And then last sort of like, if you go 20-year span or whatever, they've just won loads of stuff. Like,
yeah.
And they've done it with style, haven't they? You know, I remember I was really into Stanley when they went on that amazing FA Cup run where they beat Bournemouth and, you know, they went to Colchester and all that. And I was really, really into it then. And I was thinking, it'll never get better than this. Like, it'll never get better. So if I, you know, if you were talking to me about that and then said like, well, in a few years they'll actually be in League One and they'll be holding their own in League One and become an established team. And sometimes they might even push for the playoffs of the championship to play Rovers and Burnley. Like my head would have been like all over the shop. Like, and that's like, and that's not a, you know, that's not a horrible thing to say about the club. Like that is a genuine thing that they can achieve with the set of players that they've got, which is mad. But yeah, I think it's just a, again, maybe in every romantic, I sort of think want things to stay the same, but they can't, can they? Especially in football, you know, you stand still, you're dead, aren't you? So I think it is amazing what they've achieved with such little financial input, but you know, using the time, motto, industry and prudence, that's exactly what they've done. They've worked hard and invested their money in the right ways, and this is the result, isn't it? So but yeah, I am miserable slightly in that, you know, I don't want it to change. I want it to be free for people to get in at half time and it just be awful football. And then I can have something to hope for, maybe. But yeah, no, I'll still love Stanley. I love the town, love the club, always will do. But yeah, it's just a very strange transitional period for my brain to get used to him being pretty good. So yeah.
Yeah, that is it. These truly are sort of the halcyon days of the club, I reckon.
Absolutely, it's
It's
amazing.
absolute insanity, yeah. So moving on then, I guess, like you've spoken about the variation of your offerings and things like that. What would you say is your favourite ever product that you've produced? That might be a tough
Whoa.
question and an impossible one, but I thought I'd ask it anyway.
I like products that go through what I call the production phases really well. So when you come up with an idea, you take that to a factory or a maker. They make a sample and it's great. You approve that sample, then it goes to being made on a scale, and then the scale production is as good as the sample. And then you tell people about it. People like it, they buy it, you sell out of it, done. I could probably count on like one hand the amount of times that that's happened. But there's been a few pairs of socks that have been that way. But there was a polo shirt, the first ever one that we did, called the Luca polo shirt, which was just all black, everything that was made in Blackburn. That was absolutely amazing. But to be honest, one of my favorite things that we continually do are working on shoes with Walsh in Bolton. They're always really well received, they're always super cool. But probably the product where I sort of thought, yeah, I could actually do this for a living, is when we did a pair of socks called the Pirlo socks, which were blue with the Italian tricolore on them. And they like sold out in like 5 minutes. And this was before, like, you know, I'm really lucky that a lot of stuff that we sell sells out pretty quick, or you know, that people react to pretty strongly. But this was before all that, and I think they sold out in maybe an hour or 2 hours or something. I remember thinking, oh my days, like I might actually have a chance at having a job at this. So that's quite exciting. And they flew out. They're a great pair of socks. They were made by one of my favorite manufacturers in the world. Neil in Leicester, who makes my socks for me. And it all just sort of clicked. And it's just a really important product for that reason, that it made me sort of think, oh, maybe I could actually do this for a bit. Not that I'm any good at it, you know, I still don't think I'm any good at it even now, but I do. It was the point where I thought, oh, well, people get what I'm trying to do, so that's great.
Absolutely. No, fantastic. And I've got a pair of your socks as well. I got them as a gift and they've lasted ages and they're still probably the sort of strongest pair of socks I've got. I remember, you did a Napoli, LA and Aki, like was it like a triple, but you could buy.
It was a skyline, yeah, of each of the places, yeah.
Yeah, so mine are the dark ones, which I think are the Accrington ones, are
They
they?
are, yeah, the Aki
Yeah.
skyline, yeah.
Yeah, they're absolutely quality. I'd definitely recommend the socks as well to everybody. Fantastic, mate. It's been really good. I mean, I've got a last couple of questions then. So what are your hopes then for the future, with Cricket really? Do you want to, you've said to us you've done 10 years, it's still going really, 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 really strongly. Is it just more of the same? Carry on making, quality products that you love to, and, giving them out to people and getting them out there?
I think it's a difficult question, because we're in a world of change, aren't we, currently? And equally, I'm not a goal driven guy. I'm a cool stuff driven guy. So I'd love to be one of those people that would say, like, in 5 years, I want to be able to be doing this, or you know, I'm going to be driving a Bentley, or I'm going to buy three houses in Naples or something like that. That's not really who I am. I barely plan what I'm having for my lunch, to be honest. In fact, that's probably one of the few things I do plan. So that's a terrible example. But that doesn't really what it is for me. As long as I can continually wake up every day and I'm still having fun, that's the most important thing for me. As long as people can who engage with the brand and like it can still tell that I'm having fun, that's the most important thing. Because I think with everything in my life that I've ever done, as soon as I'm not having fun anymore, I sort of hang it up and move on to something else to do things in a different way. So yeah, I think it's without sounding too sort of boring, it is about maintaining the great relationships that we have, learning more every day as I do, and still having fun. I know that seems like a bit of a juvenile thing to say, but it is about having fun every day, waking up every day, hoping that I can make nice things and make people smile, because that's really what I'm in it for.
That's a gorgeous answer, yeah. That sort of it moves me on to my next question as well, then, where you've just mentioned that sort of hard times, uncertainty in times. On these episodes where I'm going to be speaking to sort of local people, I'm going to ask them all these sort of questions, but we do live in uncertain times now, for the town and for everybody in it. What do you see for sort of the future of Hindburn? What do you hope for the future as an area? Because we've got so much stuff mounting up now, the cost of living crisis that's coming in, Brexit will affect people in different ways, I'm sure. What do you hope for Hindburn? How do you see Hindburn at the minute, and where do you hope we go, I guess, in the future?
But to be honest, a lot like my attitude towards the football club, I just think society as a whole, like I'm not just focusing on Accrington Hindburn, the wider area or anything like that. I'm sort of thinking maybe even as a planet. I just think we're in a bit of a transitional period, aren't we? And it does seem like everybody's it's very easy to point the finger at certain people and say they're doing a terrible job, or this needs to change very quickly and all that sort of stuff. But it does seem like we're all very angry, and I sort of hope that one thing that comes out of everything that goes forward is that we can calm it down and bring everybody with us so that we can it's function better as a society. Because I do really think that there's some quite desperate things going on with some, and stuff could make some people very desperate, and I don't think that's a really a nice th way to for society or human beings to operate, really. But that's a massive answer, so I'll bring it a bit more down to earth. I read recently that I think it's Accrington Town Centre, that there's actually like plans afoot to basically knock it down and start again, like where the Irondale is and in around that area. And a few of my mates were saying to me, "Oh, this is horrible, isn't it? As the king of Accrington, you must be really upset about that." And in some ways, obviously, well, most ways, I'm very upset about that. But in other ways, I sort of think that it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if it did get knocked down and started again and made flats out of. And we used Accit as an example of like how not to do things. Like, I hope it doesn't come to that, because I love this town and has some really amazing buildings that I'd really miss. But I just think there's the mismanagement of like little towns like ours. It's horrible, and you can sort of see it slipping through your fingers a bit, and you're sort of powerless to do anything, and that can feel a bit upsetting. But I think as more and more movements are showing at the minute, if you can unite and sort of have a united front over how you want to achieve things and how you want to do things, I do think you can make a difference, rather than bickering amongst yourselves about the minutiae of like whether the grass should be green or straight cut, or whether it should have a curved edge, and just sort of think, well, we agree that we both like grass, so let's just go for it. I think that's hopefully the attitude that more of us can take, and that will hopefully transform little towns like ours. And once you start transforming little towns like ours, and there's people given more attractive propositions for people to come and move to, buy cheaper houses, invest in the area, etc., etc., that's how things change. It isn't massive things overnight, but gradual little movements forward that'll help us all. Like, I'm an optimist, and I do genuinely think that things will get better, but I just think we need to sort of work together in order for that to happen, rather than just screaming at each other that things are terrible. Things they look a bit grim at the minute. I'm not going to say that they don't look. I'm not going to say they look rosy, because for a lot of people, things are going to be a bit grim. But if we sort of stick together and work together, I do genuinely think we can make things a lot better for a lot more people, in my opinion.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that it's that conversation that people can have, isn't it? And I think it's people being open to that conversation as well. But yeah, no, fantastic, mate. Well, yeah, one last question then. I don't want to keep you for too long, because I know you're a busy man. Is raw milk still available on your website or not?
Long gone, yeah. People loved it. I did some research before I came on here, and I had a look at where they actually went to. The furthest away one went to was Thailand, actually.
Oh my goodness. Do you know what? On your podcast you can check where people are listening, and we have one listener in Thailand every time. I wonder if it's the same person.
Yeah, wouldn't that be weird if it was that one person? But yeah, they went all over the magazine. It's like, weirdly, issue 2 did better than issue 1 as regards where it went. And where did they go? Like, a load went to America, few went to Canada, load went to Italy because there's such a culture of fanzines in Italy. But yeah, they went all over. Like, one went to South Africa, a few of my mates took one to India with them and it never came back. So yeah, it was really well received. So, you know, I love it when people say stuff like this to me, but you should definitely make more of those because it's really good fun.
I know, yeah. The reason that I didn't was, well, I haven't done it in such a long time, is because I started doing them just as I went into teaching. And you'll know this yourself, but it was such a time-consuming thing. And my designer mate, actually, who told me about Trickit originally, that I've mentioned at the start of this. He was helping me with he was doing all the design, but literally every single thing else I was in charge of. So I was writing everything that was in it, apart from obviously the offerings that you gave. I was proofreading it. I was double checking it all, getting the pictures. You know, I was getting in touch with Kipax, who was giving me all the pictures, sponsorship, ad design. And by the end of it, I was like, Jesus, I could do with some help here. But then what happened was, when people were offering to help me and things like that, I was that in particular on what I wanted in it.
Yeah.
That I was like, this is my baby, you know, I don't want that, I want this. And so it became a bit of a catch 22, really. But the more that I do with the podcast and stuff like that, I'll be looking at trying to do at least something again in print, because that is really why I got into this and what I do sort of love doing is writing and going from there. So yeah, hopefully in the future I'll try and do something. And as well as that, my mum I get a call off my dad probably once a month telling me to come and move all these effing magazines out at shed because they're taking too much room up. So maybe a few more in there and he might just lose his head completely. So yeah, fantastic. Then one last push then, just for people that are sort of new to it, I'll link this when the podcast goes out as well, but where can we find you then? What is the actual website for people that want to go and take a look at it, maybe for the first time?
The website is trickit-england.co.uk. If you use Twitter, it is at trickitengland, which is all one word. And Instagram is at trickitengland, all one word. We have a Facebook, but I never use it because I don't like Facebook. So if you're messaging me on there, I will not get back to you. And if you want to come and find me, I'll be in Accrington, but I keep a low profile, so you've probably never seen me.
Ian Trickit, thank you very much, mate. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into Raw Milk. Our theme music is Mr. Powder by Deja Vega. Our producer is Scott Borton. Follow us at Raw Milk Zine on Twitter and Instagram, and Raw Milk Fanzine on Facebook. You can also download, subscribe, and like all of our podcasts at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Up the Reds!
Social Podcast Network.